Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Sublime, Alan. Happy to be here. What a Wednesday. What a day to be alive. And obviously, the Ashes is on, and I'm sitting in my new studio.
Excellent, excellent. How is it?
Oh, it's lush. It's lush. It's definitely an upgrade. Getting into a new car always feels nice. My last car was my first ever new car, so this is now my second ever new car. But it's Bosch. It's very, very lush.
Excellent. How are the acoustics?
Brilliant. It's great. Yeah, it's great for that. And I'm actually, given the spacicity, I was just going to make up a word there. The spaciousness.
Yeah, that's bad.
Of this car. I'm actually in the back seat.
Oh, okay. Shit.
Yeah. Nice. I'm just lounging in the back seat. Just quite nice.
Limo style.
Yeah.
No, that's sick. I'm still just on my couch. But that's okay.
At least you're allowed in the house.
Yeah, I know, right? Anything exciting going on this week?
I've got a mate's Bucks party tomorrow night.
Oh, that's spicy. Bucks always fun.
But this is a Bucks party like no other. It's a three-man show.
Oh, that's odd.
Yeah.
You see that stuff in like movies. It's like a dude and his two best mates. I was like, who has that? That's so weird.
Yeah. So I'm keen. I'm G'd up.
Yeah.
But we're it's very low organization. Like we have a dinner reservation at like a bar, obviously. Mm-hmm. An early dinner reservation, a 5:30 reservation. And then it's just kick on straight on. Like, and we just see where the night takes us.
Mm. That's something I could see like you, Joel, and Hardy doing. Like Hardy just like, nah, I just want to like a low key Bucks.
Yeah.
And then like myself and Darren would be like furious that we didn't get to have a big piss up.
it actually is Hardy's Bucks.
Shit. it's going to be a big night for him because we're going to Good Things together on tomorrow.
Yeah, true. So you got Good Things tomorrow. You got the day, don't you?
Mm-hmm. So my week's done. I've clocked off. I've submitted my time and my work week's over, which is fantastic. And yeah, tomorrow I'll meet Hardy and Joel about 9 a.m. for breakfast, and we'll play a bit of frisbee golf, and then myself and Hardy will pop into Good Things. Razamataz and his beautiful partner Yaz will be in there, so we'll link up with them at some stage. And it's going to be a great day. Nice, good day.
Yeah, that's good. That is good.
Weather's looking beautiful, 24, 25, like sign me up. So super keen. The only thing I'm trying to figure out now is what I bring in to the venue.
Yes.
To drink. I'm working on a couple of things at the moment, man.
Yeah.
And I'm undecided, but there'll be something. It'll be tasty.
Awesome. What's the number one artist? Who are we going to see?
So Tool's the big name, but
Tool. I don't care. That's big.
I don't care much for Tool. So okay. I'm going
to
skip out on that.
I saw Fergie just drove to Adelaide for Tool.
Yep. Yeah, I got a buddy who flew to Perth for Tool.
Yep.
People fucking love Tool. I'm just not one of them.
Yeah.
So I'll give that a miss. When Tool's on, I'll be watching Palais Royale over on one of the other stages because I'm pretty keen into them. But, Garbage, Weezer will be there, All Time Low, New World Order we're keen to see kind of early. It was meant to be All American Rejects, but they've pulled out. I know, lots of good bands. It's going to be a good day.
Going to be
a good day. So I'm keen.
Sick.
Mm.
Hardy gets into his element at those sorts of things.
Yeah,
so
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
It should be a good little... I don't think I've had a full day of just myself and Hardy, so it should be all right. We went to a gig together the other week, but it's not the most likely of matchups, of pairings in our little group.
But
not the most unlikely. I mean, this might be a better conversation for off pod, but I had a funny thought about who the most unlikely pairing would be. After the pod, I'll get your thoughts on who you think it would be. You put something out there the other day. You were like, Barwon Valley Yellows might be my jam.
Yes, I did.
And I had no idea what the fuck was going on, but Barwon Valley got an upgrade.
He certainly did.
So nine more baskets and 18 more tee pads. So 18 baskets, 36 tee pads.
Big.
And in the same Bald Hill size layout.
Yeah. Well,
it's bigger. But.
Yeah, it's bigger. Yeah. And this is why I faded away from Bald Hill. From Barwon, because I don't have the levers for Barwon. I used to sidearm my way around that like happy days. Now it'd be three sidearms to get from tee to basket. When I think about Barwon, but now that I've seen those yellows, I'm like, hey, what's up? I could get Barwon back on my radar.
That's nice. I haven't played there in a really long time. 3 years, like maybe pre COVID. No, that can't be. That was a really long time ago. I don't know, man. I cannot remember the last time I played there. Because I never played well there. I was kind of shit then, but I'm not much better now. I'm pretty confident I've never even been under par there.
There you go.
It's just not where Melburnians do well.
There's some sort of
voodoo there.
There really is.
I'm pretty anti Geelong, and they must be able to tell. So, so we'll see. Maybe in 3 or 4 years, I'll check out them yellows.
Yeah.
But everyone else have a crack.
Yeah, but how good? Like,
oh, it's so good.
Yeah. And actually, it's not on the run sheet, but did you see in group chats that Taz is responsible for setting up the Stony Creek map, Google map? Did you see this?
I did, and it's on my run sheet, but you didn't see it because I cut off the part where it says spotlight, not light. But
okay.
But Taryn was going to get my spotlight for sure because, yeah, you got 1 million views so far. So 1 million people have searched or clicked on, I don't know how it works, but have put their eyes on the Google Maps Stony Creek.
Crazy.
And, apparently he put it there. So that's a pretty cool little achievement. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's massive. Yeah, and it's not just like Stony Creek. Like, it's Stony Creek Disc Golf.
Mm.
Here's another callback to COVID. Definitely during COVID, I can account for a few of them. I was obviously regularly checking whether or not that was in my 5 kilometer radius.
Just in case,
with tectonic plates and all that shit. And, like, I did creep into that radius eventually, thanks to the tectonic movement, which was really nice. And I guess it's just kind of natural. Whenever I jump in my car, if obviously Android Auto kicks in, I do just like chuck in where I'm going. And my phone typically knows where I'm going anyway. And so, yeah, I can account for a few thousand of those, maybe even tens of thousands, but 1 million's still big.
Yeah, it's so many. It's so many. No, that's sick. I think I was within, St Kilda was within 5K of Stony Creek back in 2019 as well, or 2020. I don't think it is now, but in 2020 it was. So I remember joining that.
Yep.
Now, well done, Taz. Warrnambool. I got a little video from Ryan Nicholson, and he's popping up a little Warrnambool tournament in January. It's like the 4th and 5th.
So, there you go.
Cool course, a lot of fun. I don't think have you played it either year?
No.
It was dope. I really enjoyed it. So I will definitely be getting out there for one, if not both, of the dates. So he's doing the two rounds
of the day,
split divisions, and then the new version where it's split so you can maximize attendance.
Yep.
I'll be keen. I'll see if anyone's staying down there. Let me know because I might jump on board for that. We'll see. I'm gonna go. I think I'll be going to help my old man in Sydney on that Monday. If not, leaving Sunday night. So we'll see. I might have to just do the one and get some FaceTime in with the Dahl. But I'll be there. It'll be dope. So get around it. Really fun course.
Yeah, wicked. I feel like I saw Parrish post something about it. Mm-hmm. I feel like Parrish is keen. I'll have a little peruse. I'm not jet setting too much over this summer. So I'm around the traps. Obviously, I've signed up for Golden City, and I'll have a little geese. Oh. I've got to sort out my green jacket flight. I still haven't done that. What a fucking idiot!
That's so funny.
Is that your not light? That's my not light. I will come to that later.
It's very funny. I still haven't booked a single flight.
Okay, yeah. I'm kind of doing better than that. I feel like I'm kind of not doing better than that. Like,
that's funny. Speaking of Parrish, though, he did send me an airing of grievance that he didn't warrant enough for a voice message, apparently. So it's just him being a little bitch. But he wanted to make it clear that the weather conditions were way different the day he played versus the day Juan played.
And, yes. I saw where this was going.
Yeah. He still said he played shit, but he just, for some reason, needed to clarify that it just wasn't that shit.
Sure.
So, there you go, Parrish.
Yep.
All right, we had the new course at Churchill.
Oh, yes.
Go in the ground, and they had the opening on Friday, and apparently it was fucking off its tits.
Yes, correct. So, hundreds, like plural hundreds.
Yeah. So Matthew Finnegan was there, and I think he's had a bit to do with this, but he said there would have been about 300 people that came through. 300 people that came through in the day, including school groups, politicians, families, and some experienced players. So they had 50 show bags that went in the first 30 minutes. The old, the young, men and women, everything was going on. Apparently, they've got sort of two layouts, or there's just the same course but different parts.
Mm-hmm,
and the difficulty is somewhere between Llewellyn and Bicentennial.
Yep.
So I don't know. I don't know how that works. Cause I feel like Bicentennial is meant to be easier, but I reckon I score better at Llewellyn.
So, yeah,
I don't know how he's categorizing that, but
it's yeah,
somewhere.
But
in between.
Just like medium difficulty.
Yeah. But nicely.
And it's Matheson Park, yeah.
I don't know, man.
I think it is. I think it's Matheson Park. Yeah. Right. Like they've already got like a visit Latrobe City, like Latrobe City, the council possibly.
Could be. Yeah, they're already there's like a Fed Uni there.
Yeah, they're already full into it. Like there's a whole like essentially a website dedicated to it.
Sick. Yeah, I love it. They seem right behind. Yeah. 300 people showed up. They had show bags.
Yeah.
What Come and Try Day or anything like that or new course opening have you ever been to? I think the only one that comes to mind was Oscar might have put us on one at a random park near the city on Rubo, the bike thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And then that, because it was just on like the map. So people were showing up like, what's that? And then we had tons of people come to that.
Yeah,
But these people actually came because they're like disc golf song. That's wild.
Yeah. So funny story. When we were like alluding to this last week or whatever, and the build up to it happening, and it's been popping off in chats, I've been having this like weird like head scratch. I'm like, why do I know Churchill is going in? Like, why do I know that's happening? And like, what is going on? Anyway, I turns out. It's part of my pyramid scheme. This is part of my pyramid scheme,
yeah,
right?
Excellent.
And I full forgot. So, obviously, Angry Pat Aldridge is in is in my pyramid scheme.
Yep.
He has a new partner who has a brother-in-law who lives in Churchill.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, and they just got, like, chin wagging one day, and then, like, he's like, yeah, I work for the council. And Pat's like, have I got an idea for you? And bang, here we go.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And then Pat's like, remember, he asked me to ask you about it. And you just fobbed me off and said, reach out to this guy called Fergie. And I was like, oh, yeah, this all rings a bell now. So anyway, Churchill, Matheson Park, you're welcome. But
thanks,
add
Chris.
It to my
good
pyramid
job.
Scheme. Yeah. How good's this?
Your why can't I think of the name? Who's the coach that every other coach in the AFL was his assistant or his assistant's assistant or something at some stage? That's you're getting that one.
Was it Longmire?
Could be. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, there you go. Big dog. Look at your pyramid scheme going. Well, mm-hmm. Apparently it's pretty nice. So it's wooded but fairly flat section, moving into some hills and swamps in the back nine with some less trees. So, yeah, it's a great job. Apparently, Jason Vincent and Josh Quinn helped on the day, and the Vusus came down to play around, and then a few others rolled out. as well. So yeah, great day, and yeah, go check out the course if you can down in Churchill.
Yep, and if you jump on yeah, La Trobe City's website, they've got a map downloadable. I'm pretty sure they've got a nail in the ground down there as well, like you see at most rad setups. But yeah, welcome to the setup.
Welcome to the setup. All right, so I've had at least, well, to combine, we've had at least two people, there could be more, message saying, if Chris can't play MA40, then how come the MA40 national champion was like 935 rated or whatever?
Yeah, and the year before
and this and that and da-da-da. And it's because you're a big dog pro. So
yep.
Chris falls under the pros playing AMs rule. And they have caps on that, so you can't just be like some 1,000-rated big dog and just go swoop in. But yeah, so if you were an amateur, you could be 1,000-rated no problem and still play MA40. There's no restriction to how good an old person can be, but there is if you have that pro status. So have you reached out? Are you getting rid of your pro status yet?
I might do it mid-pod. Can I still reach out to Paul Arden? Like, or do I have to just, like, contact PDJ directly?
I reckon if you send it to him, he would figure out the powers it be.
He would do it for me,
He would probably send it up the ladder. But,
all right.
But yeah, that, I think all you have to do is ask. And we looked into it. You've made about $100 in the last 3 years. And yeah. I think
exactly.
They're probably pretty lenient with that. So MA40, watch out. Chris might be coming for you.
I'm coming. I'm messaging Paul as we speak.
All right. Our junior club champs was on the weekend and went off pretty good from what we heard.
Yeah.
So Alex Evans had quite a bit to do with that. And he said that they were a bit worried about the rain coming in, but it all cleared up beforehand, which was pretty good. Whereas a bit of a summary and list, he's got that. FJ12, Quinn and Mia play the same course, but we increase the par by one for each hole. So what does that mean? So that's also why there are two round ones listed. Don't remember what the deal with that is. We'll see that when we check the scores a bit. But he says highlight of the day was when little Quinn Stay-Smith had an amazing downhill throw-in on hole 13 with her lightweight buzz. We'd love to see that, Quinny. Paced it out. He said it was over 40 metres.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah. We've seen the photo. Easily over 40 metres. Sick throw-in.
She was stoked as well in the photo. So that's really awesome. The low light was Reese being beaten up by hole 15 in round two. He'd been playing great all day. Was only a few strokes behind Markey, putting for par. He hit the basket, had a massive roll away downhill, laid up, hit the chains, roll away, laid up again, hit the cage, roll away. He kept his cool though, and he played a fantastic shot back up the hill to park it under the cage and tap out for a 9.
Oofed.
That's tough.
We've been there.
That's tough. But yeah, should have been a good day. We got the scores up for that or not?
No, I don't. Okay. I got them. But the scores were funky on Metrix. There was a couple of extra rounds or something in there.
Oh, okay. That might explain why that happened.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But yeah, I think Marky Davies took out the overall score for the day, which is no surprise. He's the clear big dog junior. And I feel like I saw him signed up for MA2. In an upcoming tournament. We might see that at the Rudolph Riot or something else. We'll see that later on, maybe in the previews. But that's good to see. He probably should just bypass MA3 and start messing with those MA2 boys.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be fun. But yeah, great day, and hopefully next year it'll just be bigger and better.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you'd jump in.
Did Club... Oh, no, never mind. That's Mount Gambier Club Champs. I'm like, hang on, did Club Champs come and go? What happened there?
No, that's on the 14th. I was on metrics.
Yeah, which I can no longer make. Yeah, crazy. Yeah, good to go.
Yeah, they snuck in a few too many people on that. I gave a bit of shit to, I think, Narada and a couple of other people whose highest rated round was maybe 6 rating points lower than mine.
Yeah.
And one of the rounds is a bicentennial, which I cannot play, and so there's a pretty good chance I get rolled by them, so that's not good. Pretty good chance. I don't love that. the ratings predictions that we did last week, did we get anyone messaging in for any matchups or anything?
No. And that's probably on me, if I'm brutally honest. I needed to probably make it easier for the punters. I probably needed to like do a post about the matchups or something. And I didn't do that. And we got no love on that.
Yeah, I got a couple of people that were tipped weren't particularly happy with either their matchup or who was picked in the matchup. so that was pretty funny. I did enjoy that, and it might have been a little deliberate. So so that'd be good. I'm keen to like check in on this throughout the year.
Yes, yes, so
that'd be a bit of fun.
You wrote it all down, didn't you?
Yeah.
Send me a screenshot.
Cool.
Or something, so I'll do a post.
Sounds good. All right, next thing is the national tour update. So nationals is done, and therefore I think the season's done. I don't know if Rudolph's on it. I'm not sure. Who knows?
Yeah.
But anyway, it's probably done or close to done now, and we probably won't check back in on it. So
yes.
So we'll go through some of the winners and then check in on some of the best Victorian finishes in the MPO. Take one guess who you think might have been the winner.
Honestly, I'm going to go with possibly Blake Houston.
100%. So he took it out very, very comfortably over Luke Bain. He's got, where is it? The maximum points at Australian Disc Golf Championships with the win. Oktoberfest, maximum points. Redtail Open, maximum points. Queensland Open, maximum points. And I've seen a couple little Perth events there. That might be a little subject for after this. But he takes it out very comfortably. Bainey in second.
Big run out.
Big run out
in the cricket. Carry on.
Okay. No, you're good. Aussies needed it, I heard.
They needed it.
Bain in second and Alex Kanasten there in third. So Timmy B sneaking up in fourth. He's always there. And Parrish in fifth.
Okay.
12 events for Parrish. They take your best six and it took 12 events to get him up into the top five. But that's part of the deal. You play as many as you can and you get right up there. So well done to him. Fifth in the MPO. Yep. It's pretty dope.
Yeah, it's super dope.
MA1, another guess at who might have won that one.
Let's go with Kalen?
No. Pen takes that out very comfortably. Oh, not very comfortably, I shouldn't say. The big win for Kalen at Nationals propelled him up into second, and yeah, about 26 points behind Penn. Penn only got max points at one event, so he only won one national tour event, which was the Big Wet, but just solid
showing
in every other event. So
yeah,
well done by him. He got the seven, so we got to throw one away. Kalen gets the second place with six, so very good there. I'm in sixth place with just the six events, so I just scraped in with what I could, but I got rolled by a couple. Andrew Young, Jack Away, piece of shit. Daniel McCormick, and Knur Santos. All of them played Nationals, which, yeah, all right, whatever. Cheats. But I'm always in the mix. For someone who's
ten.
No good, I'm
you're
always
top
in the
10
mix.
Guy.
Yeah. And I'm having a look at it. This is not the year for MA1s. So Penn and Kalen are moving up. I don't really know much about this Knur guy. I don't think he's that high rated. Dan McCormick, Andrew Young, Jack Way, they're not going anywhere. Neither am I. And then names down, there's nothing I'm seeing. So it looks like we might only have a couple real graduates into MPO this year, which is odd.
Yeah, there you go. Like, yeah. That's odd. Yep. Yeah, I hear.
MA40JC. Takes it out, nail biter over Matt Beard. So big national by Matt
big.
Beard, but not enough.
I love that by Matt Beard Boland. Yes, that is big.
Is that another run, another wicket?
It is.
Oh, Jesus, let's go, Aussie.
Let's go. Sorry, listeners. And then followed by David Briggs. light on here. But they've played, interestingly, like they've obviously, yeah, they've played loads of events. They just haven't accumulated points.
Yeah. A bit of another theme there. Matt Beard, Jason McCormick. I feel like Dave Briggs, all WA. Boat McQuaid, these names all up here. Lee Thompson, the highest finishing Vic with sixth place. So well done, Lethal Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we've talked about this before. Like, the WA, it just, the tour doesn't work.
We got mail on this in a minute. We'll do it up. We'll do all this in and then we'll go in because someone sent us some very nice stuff. And we'll read the whole thing, but we've got to give them some good shout outs and then our thoughts on that. WA gets MA50 with Lotus Kingston. He is better than them all, though, so that is fair.
Yeah.
So he edges out Carey Edwards and then Michael Cansey. So big dog Lotus there.
Well done.
MP40, Patrick Wilson.
So there he is.
There he is, our number one. Takes it out.
Our number one who didn't he no-show the Nationals?
Did he?
Yeah, I think he didn't play. I think he was the one we had to pull out of our pick six, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. That sounds right. He said the Australian Disc Golf Championship. Nah, different guy.
Okay.
Yeah, he was right out there at Nationals.
Okay.
So he gets it done over Chris Finn and Noisy Noisen Paul. Both WA players. Let's just remember that one. Top Vic was Chris Hart. So well done there, Chris Boy.
There you go.
You got them up? You want to do a couple of these?
Yeah, I'm happy to. But how are you seeing how they fared in events?
Just click on their name. You click on their name and it pops up.
And then
what I've figured out through context is if it's underlined, they won.
There you go. You're a smart guy.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
All right. MA2, the hyphen gets it done. Alex Young-Jackaway, we love to see it. Over Travis Howe, which I'm less familiar with, but if I hover his name, I'm going to guess WA. Shock horror. there he is. Gethin Barden, shock horror. WA, probably real shit kickers, let's be honest. But there they are taking podiums. Followed by Mitch Evers.
Mitchie boy.
Well done, Mitchie boy. MA3, look, I would have called this. Weirdly, from the bleachers. I'm like, is my thing glitching right now, or is Leah Manning taking out MA3?
Big.
I guess she possibly lives somewhere in and around Perth.
Done that. Yep.
Yeah. Shock horror. But still, that's elite. Well done, Leah. Like that. I love that. I actually love that. That's the one exception to the rule. I feel like if we change anything about this tour, we still allow for Leah to win mixed divisions. That'd be huge. all right, we're cycling into it now. Marcus Davies.
Well, Carlton Clerk gets fourth spot. Top finishing Vic.
Oh, well done,
MA3. Well done.
Well done. And I'm hoping Alexander Ritchie is like none other than Alex Ritchie.
Could be.
In seventh, running with the old Alexander.
I like it.
On ADG, but I'm swear he's Alex Ritchie on PDGA.
Skip right over Schleff there in sixth place, but yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, but I was thrown by the Alexander. It's so formal. Marcus Davies, boom, good job, domination, really, couple hundred point victory,
massive.
But that's fitting. FPO. Didn't obviously play many events, but didn't need to. Well done, Huss. FA1, Claire Bruton. Awesome. And Anita Wetter and Emma Winkworth. There we go. Now we're cooking. We're back in the mix here. Well done to the Vic girls there. You want to take back over?
Yeah, in FA40, Carol Hartley.
We got another wicket. I missed one.
Jesus.
No, God.
Is up and about for the Aussies.
I'm joking. Carry on.
Carol Hartley gets it done in FA40. Pretty comfortable over Tanya Leanne. FA50, Janet Cartwright. So this was a big battle, I think, between her and Tanya Behan. And I reckon Janet took down Aussie champ. So she takes down Nationals and the National Tour. Big, big event for her there. I feel like if Tan had taken that down, it would have flipped. So well done, Janet. In FP40, A ton of events. Sue Summers, WA, gets it done over Joanne McCamish. Very exciting. In FA2, Jasmine Barr gets it done over Kate Eldridge. Kim Michelle in fifth. So well done.
There you go.
Kim. A fair amount in FA3, so that's cool. But Crystal Goscombe, I'm unfamiliar with her. But Perth, of course. Gets it done ahead of Taylor Clark and Jade Harrison. What do we got? Megan Joy, the top Victorian that I'm seeing. Michaela Cooper, maybe. And FJ15 is Miley Nicholson ahead of Lily Nicholson Love, with Charlotte Davies in third place. And I reckon if she had have started playing at the start of the year instead of midway, she probably would have won the whole thing.
Potentially. I'm loving some of these big ADG numbers as well.
Yeah.
So I'm noticing there in Zoe Matheson, 5,841. That seems pretty cool. There's some big numbers, which is wicked to see. I think that was the biggest I saw as I was watching along.
So we mentioned WA a lot. And so it's just because the way the tour works is any event can be a tour event if you just pay enough money. Basically, the way the ADG works is they provide our insurance, but then they just charge extra for funsies, I guess. I don't really know, depending on what tier event you want to play. And so it's like $3.50 per person per day for non-tour, and it jumps to like $7 for a tour event. So you're doubling your fees there just so that they can keep track of points and put it on a website.
Yeah.
So a lot of tournaments have opted to not do that because, you know, you get 100 people. That's a pretty big cost. You know, $350 per day.
Yeah.
Not ideal.
Not ideal.
So, you know, that's often put into something else. And it's even more for majors and then national champs and stuff. It gets pretty crazy. But in WA, it's every event is a tour event. That's just how they operate. Queensland runs a lot as well. But WA, it's just every event, they just pay the extra and do the tour event. So Leah Manning, who won at MA3, did not leave Perth and won the national tour.
Yeah.
It's just not right. It's not good. We've talked about it before. I think my solution was just do the majors. Like they should be the only things that count. Or change the structure of the pay. Like, I don't know why it costs a double to run a tour event. Because it's just putting people off. Like Melbourne Celebrates wasn't a tour event. That's Melbourne's biggest tournament this year, and it wasn't on the national tour. Which I think that's just a bit of a miss for us, because it's not good for our, it doesn't help our club.
Yeah.
So I didn't love that wasn't a thing this year, but I didn't really speak up at the time to do anything about it. So we had reached out by Rob Lambert. He's from far north Queensland, or he might even be here now. I know he's moving down.
He is 100% moving down. He's getting a teaching gig just down the road.
Perfect.
And he absolutely has no idea this is about to go on the airways, which I'm really pumped about. But
okay, good.
That being said, like, he obviously knows that we conduct a podcast, and he decided to send it through to us. So fair game, Rob. Thanks for sharing.
He sent us a message because I see that the Aussie tour is wrapping up and I'm not sold on the current structure, particularly with, you know, my North Queensland goggles on. Because if you live in North Queensland, how could you possibly be relevant on the tour?
Yeah.
I could be wrong and everyone is happy with the current tour. You're not. But I want to pitch an idea to the DG board, and I need a few community members to have a look at it. Anyway, he's sent this packet, and it's
welcome. And now we're
so
talking
good
to the community members.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and we're giving you a secondhand look at it. You're welcome, Rob.
It's so good. What he's written is fantastic. Like, he's written it of like how you propose things to councils or boards or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a fantastic document.
Yeah,
it's got, you know, proposal stuff and, you know, lines and points and all this different shit, benefits of proposals, conclusion, the whole shebang. I love it. Yep. He should 100% submit it, and the ADG should take his advice 1,000%. So he's basically, I love this idea. He says, yep, it should just be the majors, and then each state gets one more.
Yep.
One more event, and the state has to figure out, you know, they have to submit to the ADG what it's going to be, or bid for it, or, you know, whatever the system may be. But you get a major, and that's going to be worth a certain amount of points. Nationals is worth a certain amount of points, and then you're one other event for the year. So we would have to figure out, is that a Melbourne Celebrates? Is that an Invalid Open? Is that a like Golden City Classic?
Yeah, and that's where Disc Golf Victoria would have to like step in and help like sort that out.
Something like that anyway. And I'm like, yep, that's great. So if you don't leave your state, the most you can get is two events. And then if you've got a Nationals, his proposal was that you get, you know, the Nationals and then you get two of the B events or something like that, which I like because at the moment is a little weird because Nationals is in Canberra next year, so the Sizzler can't be a major, so it's just like a nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not a nothing, but like, they'll run it, but it's not, I don't know. But if it's one of your, like, if you can still have it as one of the other events on the national tour, it adds a little bit more then, I think.
Yep.
I don't know. People might not care that much, but I feel like if you make it more exclusive than Reigns and Chains and the Icebreaker and any event that anyone wants to do, if they just want to pay an extra $700, then maybe people will take it a bit more serious.
Yep.
What do you think? You read Rob's thing as well?
Of course. No, it's sound. And yeah, of course he's not alone, and of course there's issues, and like, you know, we, you know, saw some issues. You know, setting up a tour is hard. Like with the Vic tour, it was going nowhere and doing nothing. You know, we put a few thoughts in place, and it's every event. But it's still, it just like, yeah, it still just lacks a bit of prestige. And the Australian tour shouldn't. But I care less about the Australian tour than I do about the Victorian tour. Like, yeah. Which is just weird, right? Like, it shouldn't be the case. And, just obviously you go through the leaderboard. It's just, you, obviously, WKA takes the piss, and it's just like, well, how could you care about it? Like, you're up against eight events immediately. So, like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. No, exactly.
Yeah.
I only really like it because I always manage to end up being up a little bit because I travel sort of just enough to make it work. But this year I was helped out because Wayne made Cobden on it. And then, the Big Wet is on it. So it's like, it needs tweaking for sure. I don't know what you do after that with, like, you know, if you do make it a major and then one other, then how many events, you know, max is there in the thing? It starts getting harder because then you're expecting, you know, there'll only be going to a handful of people in each division will actually play six events or something for a year. So, I don't know. But it shouldn't just be, whoever pays the most for their tournaments. And right now, that's pretty much what it is.
And I don't want it to be, like, the one feedback I guess I have for Rob is I don't want it also to be, like, Tim Bowen takes it out. Well, like, Tim Bowen doesn't travel as much now, but I don't want Nathan Parrish winning it next year, unless obviously he becomes a good disc golfer. If he becomes a good disc golfer, that's fine. But if he's still a 920 disc golfer, I don't want Parrish to win it by going to 12 events. I think it, I don't know if it should be best 12. I think you should absolutely be limiting the events that can happen, and I love the two per state. I think that's sound. But then I think it's like it's best six or it's best eight.
Now it's only six. There's no way you would go up for it once you restrict
The
amount of things. Because, like, if, just looking at it, there's loads of people that only had three, four, two events and stuff like that, not at the top. And that's another part of it too. It's already a financial-based thing because if you have the money to go travel, then you can get more points. And the more you minimize in a state, the more that becomes whoever has the most money and free time will win. So I don't know. Like, I really like what his thing is in place. I reckon if we put it in and then stick with it, it could be good. But at least, for the first few years, it might be a little squirrely, and you will just see whoever gets to eight events wins or something. Yep. But I don't know, either that or you got to reduce it, and so people are encouraged to have more events in every state.
Yeah.
Like if it's if it's just three, you can just be on the tour, you know, for the $3.50 or whatever, then maybe there's some other requirements that it has to have a certain amount of people, or it has to have a this or that or something. I don't know. But
I'd also fully froth like just the majors and make it best three, best four. You know, like, you know, if there's six majors, you know, best four of them, best three of them, like I think that works perfectly, because like you just want, like, Blake obviously takes out the MPO, but you just do want the best disc golfer in each division winning. Like, that's what you want. You don't want it to be rewarding travel.
Yeah.
You want it to be rewarding for disc golf.
Often the people, if you're good, it's more fun. You go and you travel and you win.
Yeah, so, exactly, yeah.
So I'm looking at the top of these leaderboards. It's not like it's, the people who are winning, they seem pretty fair, at least for the ones that I know. So I'm not trying to like full shit on it in that way, but there's definitely, at least for the rest of it, it is skewed, and it's not a right system. So I really like what Rob has written. So please submit that to the ADG, Rob. I don't know the best way to do it, but just send it to them; they'll figure it out.
Yeah, I mean Paul Arden's already replied to me.
Yeah, there you go.
So like, just email Paul Arden, and you'll be away.
You're away.
He's just sent me a link, and if I don't get a response, he's going to do it for me. Thank you.
Fuck yeah.
Thanks, Paul.
And if anyone wants to see what Rob sent us, the proposal, whatever, hit us up. I'm sure he'd be happy for people to have eyeballs on it and a bit of feedback. But I love it, and he should send it.
Yes, agreed.
All right, what do we got next? The ADG Awards. So they got announced, not the winners, but the...
Nominations.
So it was the TD year and volunteer of the year, and we were red hot for both of these, right?
Yeah. How was I notified? How was I meant to be? How were they meant to have contacted me?
I'm sorry to say, mate, but neither one of us made the cut. I'm a little confused.
Sorry, what?
But neither one of us made the cut. So. I didn't get TD of the year for Raffy Rumble or Thrower's Guarantee. Not Thrower's Guarantee, was it? Thrower's Non-Invitational.
Wow.
A. Brunsting did, though. So Jeff Brunsting and Anthony Pearsall got the nomination for Aussie Masters. Jace Vito for the Queensland Open.
Yep.
Joel Rubb for the Garden City Open.
Okay.
Not sure about, not familiar with that one.
Yep.
Wayne Govan for Cobden Carnage. I reckon the old man and Anthony will take that out. The Masters was pretty dope.
Yeah, it was.
And that was pretty dope. Very professional setup. So, and Volunteer of the Year, also somehow our name's missing from that. Some pretty good ones on there, though, to be fair. JJ, Jonathan Jonas.
Yep.
Brian Rueda. That one I'm unfamiliar with.
He's
North Queensland guy. And Matthew Tulip, who probably does more for any disc golf club than anyone's ever done in South Australia. So that's pretty fair. Matty Tulip's the man. So, I just thought, I didn't see a Chris Reynolds volunteer. Did they know? They know about the course he just got installed?
I don't know. I don't know what's gone on. I don't know what's happened. But anyway, we'll stewards. What is it? Stewards inquiry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on that. I lost. We're back.
Yeah, I'm here.
I lost you for a second. All good. I just dropped my phone.
Okay.
Technical difficulties. We'll check in on the Rudolph Wright. How late are we running? Oh, no, we got plenty of time. So that's coming up this weekend. We'll do a bit of a preview, and then I've got a little game for us, because we're not doing Thrower's Guarantees till next year. I've come up with like an exciting game. It's I've never heard anyone do it.
Okay, good.
So we'll run with it.
See.
After we do some of the things, I think you'll be keen.
Who's playing? Give me someone who's playing on the Saturday. I've got Sunday up. Who's playing on the Saturday?
On the Saturday, we've got MP40, rolling as the big dogs there. And it's Ruben Berg, Ash Wiedner, and sandwiched in there, our boy, Darren Say Smith.
Oi, look out.
Yeah, sexy, sexy. I like that. Who do you like there?
Ruben Berg.
Ruben Berg. I like Ash plus 10.5.
Okay. Yep. Good.
MA1 Fat Field. It is nice. There's 14 of them, and then there's some really good players in there. So this would be fun one to watch. Joel Way is the top dog. Penn Lu as well.
Kicking an MA1.
Yeah, well, that's Saturday. He's not old enough to play MP40, but he is shit enough to play MA1. So
yeah, he is.
Penn Lu, Chris Scott, Ethan Lewis, Kalen Haramis, Narada.
Wow, it's thick. Who's coming fifth there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's an awesome, awesome top five. Pretty solid through the middle of that as well.
Yeah.
A ton of players over 900 rated. It's going to be good. It's going to be real good. Spicy. I like, who would you like at that Geelong course? Who would be good there? I feel like there was a good bit of OB and the stuff in your round. Not really.
You have to throw shapes.
Yeah, it wasn't really distancey. So
no.
Could be a pen one. I don't really know Joel's deal. I'm going to say Ethan. Ethan takes it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
He might just be chilling out there. Who knows? He might get to Deacon a bit. I don't know. Big listener of the show. So, obviously all the Geelong cool cats listen to the show. And so, I'm happy to big up Ethan here, but I think Joel's pretty handy with a mid range.
Yeah,
I think it could be Joel's jam. I feel like it's definitely a buzzish type course, and I feel like he might know his way around a mid range.
Sick. Yeah, it should be good. I'm very keen to watch that one. That'll be nice. MA50. We got a big battle. Mike Vandalin's above 900 rated now. Do we know that?
Not surprised.
Hmm. That's a good get. So him and Kerry are same rating now. Richard Lewis Shell in there as well. That's a real nice little battle. Shapes, you reckon?
It is Shapes.
I reckon Mike gets it done.
Yep.
Only a couple in the FA2. MA3, though, is pretty big. Ben Hines, I think he's actually running the show on the Sunday.
Okay, cool.
So I think Matt Hill's doing the Saturday for him. So he's top dog in that, but it's not much. It's pretty thick. Jesus, Mac Tats, Carlton Clerk, Quinn's in there. Alex Ritchie, though. He's on the way up. It's got to be him. It's got to be him. All he does is win at the moment.
I'm going to go Anita Weber is kicking down there. Uh-huh. Look out. Jace Wiener in the mix. It's going to be Adam Spears.
Adam Spears. All right. Nice.
Yep.
Sounds good. And then day two, I'll be out there. So on the Sunday, because I'll be sleeping on the Saturday. And unfortunately, there's still just a bunch of chumps in MA too. So I don't think I can, in good conscience, drop down. If anyone ever beat me, I'll be fucking furious. I better win by 1,000. But anyway, we've got MA4 Matt Daniels is, I don't think he should be in MA4.
He's too good.
Yeah.
He's way too good.
So I'll be disappointed if he doesn't win.
Yep.
FA3, there's four of them. Who are you liking that one?
Lenny will take that down.
Lenny's playing the day before too, so she's got the
doubling up. We love that.
Yeah, that's cool. MA2, yeah, no big dogs. Declan Harzam from Queensland is popping down.
Yes, popping down, yep.
Yeah. So he's the big dog at 8-8-8.
Max Tats doubling up as well.
Max Tats is there for sure. Mitch is in this. And what did I see? Oh, Marky Davies, he's in here. So making his MA2 debut with his old man. Who do we like?
Marcus Davies is a 900 disc golfer. And
he better not be.
I think he's a chance, you know. I think he's a chance.
Yeah, I think he'd be up there. I reckon Mitch wins.
Yep.
I reckon Mitch wins.
Have you put Face Your Fear tips up?
No.
Okay.
No, I've stopped doing that.
Okay. What do you mean you tipped against him?
In the him versus Taron.
Yes.
Him versus Taron. So he better not, he can't be another disc golfer yet. He can start in July.
Yes. Good throwback. Sorry, I missed that. Yes.
No, that's fine. MA40's got a shit ton of people in it. 21 people. Glenn Mazey at the tippy top. But Chris Hart, Cooper Thompson, Taron, Timmy, Huss, Richard Lewis-Schell, Lee Thompson. This is good. This is going to be real good.
Zolt.
Zolt's in there as well.
Yep.
The other Chris Scott. Yeah, tons of people. I don't know. It's hard to see the big dog win in MA40. I feel like it doesn't happen.
No.
I'm going Coop.
I'm going, given I can't think of any rollers that happen out there, I am going to back in the big dog, Glenn Mazey.
All right. Shapes. He's a good shapes man.
Yeah, he is.
Kim Michelle, Emma Winkworth, Anita Webber.
Kim Michelle, higher rated than Emma.
Yeah, there you go. Wow.
Yeah.
I reckon they get the double. I reckon it's Kim and Matt both get wins.
Oh, huge. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with I've mentioned Anita Webber and was it MA3, and I'm going to mention her again here. I think Anita might get this one done.
Cassie's in FP40 again, Division 1. There's three FA1s. I still don't understand that. But anyway, I'm sure he's going to play all two rounds with them. So good luck.
Yep.
And in the NPO, that's where I find myself. 11 players, so I'm not even the little dog. Ben Wynn from New South Wales and Marty Oberg from 70.
Opposed to Marcus Vallotta from 68.
Yeah, Estonia's got some weird shit going on. They're under me, so that's the goal. The goal's chase card. There's 11 of us, so the goal's get on chase card, and I've got to put either a Kalen, a Parrish. Penn's jumped in, that motherfucker. Penn, Ryan, Michelle. One of them chumps, I got to get them on scum card with Marty, Ben Wynn, and maybe they chuck Cassie in that. I don't know. That's the goal. The goal's chase card. So we shall see. But big dogs out there, Patty and Vil, they just love battling against each other lately. Timmy Bohan's in there as well, just because the weather's nice again. Who do you like?
Yeah, throw a dart, isn't it? Throw a dart. Look, being down in Geelong, in Paddy's backyard, surely that means Tim's going to win.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going with Bill. I'm going with our boy, Bill.
Yeah, okay, cool.
He owes Paddy one.
I just gave Tim Bowen a good dig. Not me, actually, but a buyer. But our socials just gave Tim Bowen a good dig. Did you see that?
No. I'll have to take that after.
I screenshotted a chat that's not opening right now. Here we go. And we're just doing some stats around the Spotify Wrapped. And I was like, people must be listening to this shit twice. And then a listener messaged in saying, I have it on good authority that Ash Whedon listens to it on repeat to help him fall asleep. Honey and Kale play it in the ambulance to calm the patients down. And Ten Bowen listens over and over and over to try to crack the code to help the tee off stats.
That's great. That's so good. All right, I've got a little game. The tee off might actually, the boys might want to listen to this. I think this could be right up their alley.
Okay, sweet.
But yes, because seeing as we're not doing dollars guarantee, I still want to have a little thing out there. So I've come up with a segment called $2 Bets.
Okay.
And what we'll do is we'll just make $2 wages on individual matchups.
Sure.
I think the way we'll do it is I'll come up with a matchup and then you get to pick who you want out of the two.
Yep.
Then you come up with one, my turn, da-da-da-da-da.
Wicked. And so we could choose both sides of the coin, the same side of the coin, and then it's a wash?
No. So, like, if I say it's player A versus player B.
If I get dibs, I get dibs. Pick,
I get the other.
Yeah. Okay, I get dibs.
Yeah.
All right, yep.
Yeah, gotcha. So it's, we've got to try to make up with fair matchups.
Yep, good call.
So, yeah, and they're $2 bets, and at the end of it, we'll square off, you know, let's say you win three and I win two, I owe you $2. If I win all five, you owe me $10.
Good. Deal's up. Let's play.
All right. Well, the first matchup I want is Allen and like finishing in the top eight or not.
So chase card. Yeah, chase card or better.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and you are the ninth rated. Oofed. I'm going to go with...
How are we saying? Finishing or make chase card? We'll do that. Make chase card, because then I can't have to blow it. So make chase card round two. But top eight. I don't know. Shenanigans.
Yeah. Top eight, because you like they could do a card of five or some shit that'd kill us. So what? Make chase card round two, but you could then blow it round two, and you would win that bet.
Yeah.
Okay, unless I'm going to go... I'm going to go with you... I want an asterisk on this. I'm going to say you don't make top eight.
Yeah.
But my asterisk is... like, if there's a dropout, like, this is a wash event. Gotcha. Yeah. Because, like, one dropout, I flip the other way.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, fair. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sweet. I'll take it. This is good
because if you're T8, you're the lowest PDGA. So exactly. Yeah. Yeah, this is a good one for you. Yeah, it's good. That's a good matchup. Well played.
All right. What do you got?
All right. I want...
I should write this down.
Yes, you should. I want Anita Webber, Kim Michelle.
Oh, I like that. Well, you wanted Anita, so I'm taking it. I wanted Kim, but you wanted her, so I'm taking her.
All right.
That's poorly played. But okay.
All right. Did I play the long game? Yeah, did I read the run sheet and I thought this is what you're doing with $2 bets?
Nah, there's no way. It's a completely original idea. There's no way you would have inferred anything from that. All right. Allen top eight. Allen took. And then what have we got? Anita Webber. Bang. What have I? So it's up to me now. All right. I've got the MA40s open. We'll get one more in this one, and then we'll do two on the other day.
Yep.
MA2s are spicy too. What do we want? We'll go Marky Davies.
Yeah, it's good.
And which way do I go with this? Moosey. Oh, that could be a good one. We'll go Schleff because he listens and it'd be funnier.
Marcus Davies versus Schleff. Oh, Marcus Davies every day of the week.
All right. I love it. Good. I want Zach.
All right, good. All right, you want me to jump over to the other day?
Yeah.
All right. We're obviously going to spice up here with MA1. Give me obviously the Nemesai. Who do you want with
Penn or Kalen?
There's a few Nemesai in there.
That's a good one.
There's a few Nemesai in there.
You're thinking Brett and Narada?
Penn and Chris Scott.
Oh yeah, true. They've been a good one lately.
Yeah, they've been a great one. Yeah. I was thinking Penn and Chris Scott.
Oh, okay. Every time it seems to matter, like, and it's an actual head-to-head instead of just playing disc golf, Penn wins. So I'll take Penn.
Okay.
But I don't love it. All right, one more. Who we got? MA50s, MA3s. Let's have a look at the MA3s. Because we got some good ones in there. I said I liked Alex Ritchie in. And you said Adam Spears. Alex Ritchie, Adam Spears.
I'll take Alex Ritchie, please.
Oh, are you dick? Are you sick? Fuck. All right. Done. I'll take Adam Spears.
Yeah.
For sure. For $2. This is good. This might catch on.
This might be a good segment. I can't believe others haven't thought of this.
I can't believe it either. It's crazy. Anyway, $2 bets. Anyway, just for those listening. All right. I had one more thing. Yeah, whatever. We'll go into it. It won't take that long. The putting stats is what I've got written down.
Yes. And you've got these stats, don't you?
I've got these.
Yeah.
I've just got to find them, but I've got them. I took the liberty of going through and getting all of my putting stats for this year. I didn't play the first few. Didn't keep notes on the first few events, but for everyone after. So I've got a lot of them, and I went through your putting stats and put them down as well. And before we reviewed any result, we never do anything pre-planned on this show, but this one I wanted you to put a bit of thought into, and then we proceeded to do it all immediately. So it did work out a little different anyway, but I wanted you to decide what you thought was bad, mediocre, average, good, and elite putting percentages. Have you got that in front of you?
I do. Of course I do.
So what did you come up with? This is C1X.
C1X. Yeah, C1X. Bad. Bad is anything less than 40%. That's bad.
Definitely. Right?
Mediocre is somewhere between 40 and 55. If you're only just getting above half your putts, that's still mediocre. So 40 to 55. Average, and this is where the band gets a bit fatter, average is 55 to 75. I feel like that's where you're going to find most disc golfers. All right, I stand by that. So that's going to be average, 55 to 75. Good is between, I could be swayed on this one. This is the one where I was like, I'm not too sure. Where do I draw the line with good? So I've gone 75 to 90. But, like, you know, you could say 91, 92, 93, 94. You could say 95, all right, to, like, where does elite start? But, yeah, I've gone 75 to 90 for good, and elite I've gone anything better than 90% from C1X.
I love it. The only thing I would do, I have sort of a half a different mind. I would go downsies a bit. I think 75, 85 is good, and 85 above is elite. What are the top dogs in like the Pro Tour putting at?
I feel like they're like 93s.
Yeah, but that's like elite of the elites, bro.
Yeah, well, like that's putting's putting, man. Like
I get that. Yeah.
If you ask me a long distance, like same thing, I would like it would not equate very well in the Pro Tour, right? Though elite would just be basically everyone on tour.
Yeah.
But when it comes to putting, putting's putting. Come on.
Fair enough. That's why I asked you.
Yeah.
I asked you because you're the big dog putter. You're the elite putter in our group. I wanted you to then guess my putting percentages and your putting percentages. And to my surprise, I was shocked by what you said, but what did you guess as yours and mine?
Yeah. Where is that guess? Was it further up? Further up. So my guess for you was 76%. And my guess for me, because I know that I've been putting poorly this year, my guess for me was 69%.
And I couldn't believe you guessed less for yourself than myself, which is wild. I also guessed 75% for myself, and I came in at 164 out of 218, which was 0.75229%. So I am unsurprisingly the gatekeeper of average and good.
But on the good side of it.
Oh, I'm just on the good side of average.
Yeah.
Which tracks. And it's just wild. Like, it was hard writing these down, man, because there was heaps of them where I'm just like, yeah, cool, 8 or 9, 6 or 7, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden there's like a 3 of 6. And I'm like, how did I only have 6 attempts and how did I only hit three of them?
Yep.
Like, it just out of nowhere, like, real bad ones. Like, 6 of 11. I was like, what do you mean, bro? I was 6 of 11. Like, so, yeah, a lot of bad ones really dragged me down. But, like, the ones I remember, every round I remember, I just missed one putt around.
There you go.
So, I'm at 75, just over. And you had yourself at 69, but you came in at 73.3%.
There you go.
And much smaller sample size, but your first, like, few tournaments was way better. And then it dropped off pretty good after that.
Yep.
But, yeah, the things that stand out to me is, like, I have double the rounds, but nowhere near – like, your attempts compared to mine are insane. So you've got two rounds where you had less than double digit attempts, and they were both 9. I have 7 rounds above double digit attempts, or double digit or above, and then I've got whatever the rest of them are, like 20 in the single digits. So here I am thinking that you are a much better putter of the disc, and at like a similar thrower of the disc, and it turns out you are way better at throwing the frisbee than I am. Which is just great.
But that's been this year. Like I we'd have to go back to other years, but there's been so many events this year where like I've got through. Like I've played my like I've gone down fuck all in rating, but my putting has been atrocious, right? And putting is where you score. So what's happened for me this year is I've thrown outrageously well. I've thrown like I've never thrown before. If I'd thrown like this any other year when I was a good putter, shit could have got real good real quick. But I was just like, yeah, mediocre, but I missed a million putts, which normally it's like putting saved my ass.
It's a wild, wild year. But
yeah,
seeing as yours and mine are the only yearly cumulative stats we have, I think it is only reasonable to say that I am the number one statistic putter in Australia and you're number two.
Excellent. There we go.
I don't know how anyone else could argue anything else unless they came up with their own numbers, so which I encourage you to do. So yes. If anyone can beat 0.75229 3578, then let me know. But right now, I'm Australia's best putter.
Congratulations.
I've said that many times this year.
I don't want to. Don't hit us with your UDIS stats.
No, don't hit it.
This has got to be keep your fucking stats on PDGA, please, people.
Yeah, and if you haven't, then that's too bad.
Bad luck. You're trying to hide something.
Yep. But if you do, send us our way. We want to see the numbers too. We want to see all the numbers. Don't just be like, oh, yeah, I'm 83.
Yeah.
Show us what you got. It's not hard to put them down. You just go through. It didn't take me long to do this either, so.
Yep.
All right. We are to the end, so we've got a bit of a spotlight, not like you stole my spotlight with Taz, but I'll go with all the Spotify stuff. So people are coming in with their Spotify raps, and we're loving it. Send them through. It's great. I don't know how – like who's in our top 1%?
I know. Who's in our top 10%?
Well, like Mikey Hare was like – 8%, I think, wasn't he? And he's like, what the fuck? He's like, how am I not higher?
Yeah, was Mikey 8%? I can't remember. He might have been. Let's have a look.
I've got one from Reese, and he is top 4%. And he's like, people have to be listening multiple times.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But
I listened to every app. I was top 27%.
Oh, really? What the fuck?
Yeah.
It wasn't, right. It was fifth in my, I didn't even get the stats on it because it was our fifth.
Yeah, Mikey was top 22%.
Oh, okay, my bad.
And he listened to 2,219 minutes.
Yeah, so Recircuit is 2,784 minutes of us.
Yep.
And he's 8%.
Yep.
Who the fuck's – who's higher than that? That's great. And what's the hours? That's wild. I didn't even know we had that many minutes out there.
Well, we must. What is 2,800 divided by 60? We're looking at 47 hours.
That's so gross.
that's bonkers.
All of them. We put an hour out every week.
Mikey did some Googling. Mikey figured it out a little bit. I listen at 1.5, as you know.
Mm.
And that's how the mass shakes out. Mikey listens at 1.3, so that's why he's only top 22%.
That affects it because it's on minutes.
Yeah, it does.
That shouldn't make sense. That doesn't.
And it's funny because it's not how Spotify calculate other shit. I've already done the other maths on that previously because I listen to audiobooks. You get 15 free hours a month and it cuts me off at 10 hours every month. Because it's like you've a listen to equivalent of 15 hours, even though you're listening at 1.5. So I was like, it doesn't do it that way. He's like, no, I've Googled it. It does. Like, it counts minutes.
Wow, okay.
So Reese must listen at 1.0. I wonder if there's some strange cat out there that thinks we fucking talk to. We talk too fast and they're listening at 0.8 or some shit.
That'd be funny as fuck. What was your top?
My top pod?
Yeah.
My top pod was for sure Throllers.
Oh, okay.
My top pod was Throllers.
Mine was Tour Life. I somehow got 4,623 minutes.
Wowee.
Yeah, I listened to them all. They're 3 hours long.
Oh, go. Oh, it's Jack, though. We just got rude out for 98.
I'm a top 4% on Tour Life. Let's go.
Oh, that's elite. That's something we're celebrating.
It's not.
Did you see the opposite
of that.
Did you see my number one album though?
Nah.
In our chat.
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah, that's good.
That is good. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. My spotlight goes to all the people who've been listening all year and getting their Spotify raps out there. Send us our way. We wanna see who's slow, I guess.
Yeah. Spotlights.
You got any spotlight?
Yeah, that was going to be mine. You stole it.
Oh, okay, good. Well, I got you back.
Yeah. not light?
No, I got nothing. I think it was a good week.
Yeah. I got nothing.
Not much disc golf on. I'm not about to not lie to one of the juniors. Someone did point out that I haven't had a beef with a child in a while, and I probably need to get back around that. But it's been a good week. So yeah, probably not many pods left. We'll do a Rudolph Wright one next week, and then after that, Club Champs, and then we might have to do like a Club Champs / Awards one and wrap it up then or something.
Yeah, sure. Yep. Otherwise, we'll be talking on Christmas Day.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. Cool. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out, everyone.